It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
And you're watching Tesla Time News,
episode 412
on Now You Know. When you connect to the internet on a public Wi-Fi network, like at an airport, coffee shops, a friend's house, or even at your own home, your data is at risk of being stolen.
Private internet access protects you from the prying eyes of hackers, internet service providers, and others that can view your personal data.
Using the internet without private internet access is like driving without insurance. All it takes is one unlucky moment to bring you financial distress.
So a VPN helps protect personal data by encrypting your internet connection through a world-class server infrastructure, which makes your information shielded.
Without a VPN, hackers can connect to the same Wi-Fi network and have the ability to steal your personal data, including sensitive information like passwords, keystrokes, and even your photos.
Private internet access not only safeguards your internet connection through an encrypted tunnel, it also hides your location, which can give you access to region-restricted content from all over the world.
Streaming services like Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, and more have different library options based on where you are located, and some shows cannot be accessed if you are not located in the region.
Like Rick and Morty. It's not available on U.S. Netflix, but works when connecting to Private Internet Access's UK streaming server.
Private internet access helps you overcome these restrictions by giving you the option to change your IP address to one of 91 countries to choose from and all 50 U.S. states.
Private internet access is available for all platforms, Windows, Mac OS, Android, Linux, iOS, and many more.
And you can protect an unlimited amount of devices at the same time. Protect your entire household with one subscription. Protect your workspace with one subscription. Install private internet access on all your devices anywhere in the world.
Signing up for private internet access is risk-free. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee and 24/7 customer support.
We feel a lot safer using private internet access and think you will too.
By using our link, you can grab an 83% discount on private internet access.
That's just $2.03 a month, and you get 4 extra months completely free. Just click our link below.
Thanks to Private Internet Access for sponsoring this episode. So starting last week, when the Wall Street Journal published a story saying that Elon Musk was giving $45 million per month to Donald Trump, it seems to have become a fact.
But hold on. Elon posted last week that it wasn't true.
Yeah, as Ian Miles Chong posted. So here's what happened. The Wall Street Journal reported with zero corroboration that Elon Musk was donating $45 million a month to Trump through America PAC, a claim that Musk immediately shot down as fake news. Fast forward to his interview with Jordan Peterson, where he explicitly denies the report. And what does the media do? They treat the original report as accurate and double down by falsely claiming that Musk is backing down from the donations.
Elon responded to Ian saying, yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm making some donations to America PAC, but at a much lower level, and the key values of the PAC are supporting a meritocracy and individual freedom. Republicans are mostly, but not entirely, on the side of merit and freedom.
So let's just go directly to the guy himself.
The media is simply not true.
Okay.
I'm not donating $45 million a month to Trump.
Right.
Now, what I have done is I have created a pack or super pack, whatever you want to call it, which I simply call it the America pack.
Do you want to tell everybody who's listening what a pack is? Because people don't know.
It's a political action committee.
Yeah.
It's an organization. It's sort of a legal entity that can receive funding. That funding can then be used to help with political campaigns.
Yeah. Okay. And how does that differ from a direct donation? There are specific limits on direct donations to candidates, and the PAC system is a way of putting a political structure in place that sort of runs parallel with the political, with the formal political system. And so,
yeah, you can donate money directly to candidates. That amount is fairly small.
Yeah.
You can donate a lot more money to a political action committee or a super PAC. There are various rules that govern the operation of PACs and super PACs, but it certainly allows for a lot more money in the system than would otherwise be possible.
Right, right.
And these are used, to be clear, on the Democrat and Republican side.
Yes.
I actually think that...
Right, so it's an open playing field on the PAC side.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are you hoping to accomplish with this, and what's the PAC called?
It's called the America PAC.
America PAC. Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's easy to remember.
It's very easy to remember.
Yeah.
And it's not meant to be sort of a hyper-partisan PAC. It's actually the core principles of this America PAC are, the intent is to promote the principles that made America great in the first place. So I wouldn't say that I'm, say, for example, MAGA or Make America Great Again. I think America is great. I'm more MAG, Make America Greater. Core pillars, some core values that have, I think, made America great.
Yeah, Elon talked about one of those pillars being meritocracy.
So again, people, let's understand the playbook. One legacy media company like the Wall Street Journal publishes an article that isn't true, and then all the other media outlets rerun it as if it's a fact.
And they tell two friends, and they tell their friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Now, it doesn't help that Donald Trump repeats it, and he, $45 million, I mean, okay, great. I mean, he read the Wall Street Journal. He's just reporting on what he heard. He's not like, I went through my account. He didn't. He didn't talk to his accountant or anything. He doesn't know how much money is coming in. He's just, that's something that's called politics. He's just using politics to his advantage. And so then the media gets to be like, and here's Donald Trump even saying it. So it must be true.
Right. And luckily, Elon has a platform where he can refute all the lies. The problem is that once someone has read what they think is the truth, it is hard to rewrite that code in your head. I realize for many of us, talking about Tesla's full self-driving is like reading a software coding manual, like this tweet from Holmar's catalog. Hi, Elon. It appears HW4 cars have gotten 12.5, but not HW3. Can you confirm whether this is the next-gen model with 5x parameter count you described in a previous X post? If so, I imagine HW3 will run a quantized version or something.
Okay, we'll read Elon's answer, and then we'll try to explain it.
Elon said, we're focusing on just Model Y with hardware 4 for the initial release. Make sure that works well, then broaden. This has the 5x increase in parameters. Hardware 3 would run the same parameter count, but requires extra work to optimize the code.
So,
what is he talking about?
So, let's just break down the terms really quick. There's hardware 3, which is in...
like your car.
My car.
From 2018.
2018. I upgraded it to get hardware 3. Many people have hardware 3. Hardware 4 started coming out in new cars about a year ago. So, there is a difference between cars that are older and cars that are newer. And so, that is what hardware 3 and hardware 4 means. Then, when we're talking about 12.5, that is the latest update of full self-driving.
Which is rolling out now.
Should be rolling out now. Most people don't have it yet, but Elon said that it will be rolling out to hardware 4 Model Ys first.
Right. So even though our Cybertruck, for instance, has hardware 4, it's not going to get it first.
So then what Holmar's catalog was asking about is that 12.5 should have 5x the parameter count, which is a lot more code, obviously. And so he's wondering if Hardware 3 is ever going to be able to run this version. And then he's asking if it needs to be like quantized, basically, like, do they need to compress it or do they need to shrink it or something
like
that?
And a lot of fuddy articles came out saying, if you have hardware 3, you'll never be able to have full self-driving.
Right.
Elon has said that's not true.
So what Elon answers in his post is that hardware 3 would run the same parameter count, but he talked about how it would require extra work to optimize the code. So what Elon is talking about with optimization is that you can make code smaller. You can make it more efficient for a computer to run it. And so that's what he's talking about. He's not necessarily making the program any worse. A lot of times, like, new games will come out and they haven't been optimized, so people can't run them on older computers. He's basically doing the same thing here. He's rolling out software and then they're going to be shrinking it down.
It just takes time to do that. And Alex says 5x increase in parameters is mind-boggling. And Elon said it's easy to increase parameters. Making them high SNR is hard.
And SNR? That's signal to noise ratio.
So Alex explains, Elon says it's easy to increase the number of parameters in FSD. The challenge is to increase them while maintaining a high signal to noise ratio. What those parameters effectively do is compress reality, says Elon. And then Alex wanted to say, Tesla AI training capacity will ramp to roughly 90,000 H100 equivalent GPUs by the end of 2024. This is something we learned on the earnings call. And Elon said,
important to note that we also use the Tesla hardware for AI computer in the training loop with NVIDIA GPUs, currently at roughly a 1-to-2 ratio. Also, we're changing the name from hardware 4 to artificial intelligence 4, or AI 4. And so he says that means roughly 90,000 H100s plus roughly 40,000 AI 4 computers.
And Patrick Lack says hopefully hardware 3 vehicles will get it soon.
And Elon says, my apologies, but I set the priority to get it working well, including upgrading the ancient highway code on hardware 4 Model Ys to limit variations, then adapt to other vehicles and hardware 3.
And PDV says, I wish we could know if 12.5 will have Banish and ASS, which is actually Smart Summon.
And then Elon said, yes, technically, actually Smart Summon is separate code, but it will be bundled with 12.5 next month.
And Chuck Cook says, with regards to this post by Elon, whether we like it or not, this seems to be the beginning of the fork between HW4 and HW3. To this point, FSD Supervised has been running in emulation mode on HW4 to be compatible with HW3. Now this seems to have changed. I'm very confident that Tesla can optimize this model with the additional parameters to run on hardware 3, but that optimization will more than likely come at the expense of some functionality, latency, or recall. Many with earlier HW versions have gone through transitions like this. I'm sure this one will be different, but not completely. And Elon said,
we have yet to unlock the full potential of hardware 4 that may enable up to a further 8x increase in parameters.
Woof. Wow. And I think what this all boils down to is how good is 12.5? And luckily this week, we started to see some videos of it. Mike P on X, who is usually by his own account, quote, I'm historically a massive FSD talker, just posted this glowing review of FSD 12.5, saying things like, that was by a long shot the most incredible FSD experience I've ever had, and the first time I truly want to jump out of the vehicle and flag anyone down willing to hop in to see what the fuck is going on here.
Elon said, still some issues with this release, but you can see the magic already. We're pushing it out only for those who have requested advanced releases. It's a setting on the screen that is defaulted off. For regular users, version 12.5.3 is probably suitable for wide release.
McKay says, Tesla FSD 12.5 update is the best product experience I've ever had. It's now just a straight up personal robotaxi. I literally cannot believe it exists. It feels straight out of the future, pure magic.
And Elon said, cool.
Yeah. So before you start reading other articles saying that, you know, autonomy is years off, I do recommend you wait till you get 12.5 or find a buddy who has it and go experience it. And as soon as we get it in one of our vehicles, which should be in the next few weeks, we are going to jump in and make a video for you so you can see our reactions as well. So Elon mentioned on the Tesla earnings call that Tesla could start working with xAI more closely, but it would be up to Tesla shareholders. And so Galley posted,
let's have Tesla invest $5 billion in xAI. Get this shareholder vote passed ASAP.
Elon said, well, we would need a shareholder vote for that. We'll hold a poll, see what people think, and then discuss with the board. So we had a poll. And 2/3 of the people said, let's do it. That was 1 million people voting. So Elon says, looks like the public is in favor. We'll discuss with Tesla board. So let us know what you think down below.
Yeah, we asked our patrons on our Patreon poll this week, and we'll see what they said coming up later in the show.
And we'll be talking about it on our Investor Club bonus stories this week. So join us on Patreon for all that fun stuff. Don't miss out.
So it's easy nowadays for the financial media to spin earnings results.
Yeah, Tesla had what we consider to be a great Q2. And many headlines went into full FUD mode.
We won't go through all of it because we already covered Tesla's Q2 earnings call on our in-depth last week.
If you haven't seen it already, put it on your playlist and get the real story of what happened, not this FUDdy crap.
What I find funny is that Tesla had another great quarter and got these negative headlines, but when Ford's Q2 results came out, we got headlines like these. Ford Q2 earnings, net income falls 4.5%, but revenue rises on strong commercial vehicle sales. Well, that sounds pretty positive. I mean, revenue rises on strong commercial vehicle sales.
Or how about this one? Ford reports mixed Q2 2024 results amidst EV sales surge and strategic shifts.
EV sales surge and strategic shifts. I mean, what does that even mean?
I don't know. Or how about this one? Q2 earnings hit by higher warranty and launch costs. Bank of America America analysts remain optimistic.
Bank of America analysts remain optimistic. Okay, this sounds like Ford had a pretty good quarter, I guess.
All right, so let's put the headlines aside and dip our toes into the pool that is Ford's financials, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say stupid things like
Ford beat top line expectations with revenue up 6%. And Ford EV sales surged 61% year over year, and Ford remains the second best-selling EV maker in the U.S. behind Tesla.
But I'd like to know the actual numbers.
Well, Ford, remember, has three divisions. Ford Blue, which is their traditional ICE vehicle division. Ford Model E, which, of course, is their EV division. And Ford Pro, which is Ford's commercial division. If you add them all up, you get this overview. So $47 billion in revenue, $2.8 billion in EBIT, 47 cents a share in EPS.
Mm-hmm.
Looks okay.
Yeah, I mean, free cash flow of $3.2 billion, revenue of $47.8 billion is up 6%.
Sure. Although their margin slipped a lot, down to just 5.8%. And Ford's net income was just $1.8 billion, way lower than analysts expected. But I think the really scary numbers come when you dive in deeper to see Ford's three divisions separately. So take a look at Ford Blue, Ford Model E, and Ford Pro. So margins on Ford's ICE cars, their traditional vehicles, is only 4.4%. And
holy crap, Ford has almost negative 100% margins in its Model E division? Does that mean for every EV Ford sells, it's losing the whole price of the vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody buys a Ford F-150 Lightning for $80,000, Ford loses $80,000.
Yeah. Do you know what would be a better business model for Ford? And I'm not even kidding. Would be to go to Tesla, buy a Model Y, and then give it to customers for free. They would lose the same amount of money.
Actually, they'd lose less money.
They'd lose less money.
Per vehicle sold.
Right. And they wouldn't have to pay any of the credits because they would have been selling a zero emission vehicle. This is why Ford has been slowing down production of their F-150 Lightnings. It's because each sale hurts their bottom line. And this is why Ford shifted their plans from what they said they would be doing at their new Ford factory in Canada. They said they'd be building electric pickup trucks there.
And now they just changed course and said that they'd be making heavy-duty trucks there.
Exactly. The one division that is making the vehicles of the future is failing horribly. It's only their legacy businesses that are still working. And if we look at this chart from Ford, their E division margins continue to get worse, and they lost $1.1 billion in the quarter.
And so did their quarterly revenues, down from $1.8 billion in Q2 of 2023 to $1.1 billion in Q2 of this year.
Yeah, Ford says these EV losses are due to, quote, industry-wide pricing pressure.
Well, I mean, if most of the industry is Tesla, and Tesla sells cheaper cars than you, that's just a fancy way of saying, we really suck at making EVs cheaply. It's really hard for us to compete with Tesla, who's been doing this a lot longer than we have. So Ford expects their electric division to lose between $5 to $5.5 billion this year.
Now, during the earnings call, Ford says they will now focus on smaller, more profitable EVs.
Like the,
Well, don't worry. I'm sure Jim Farley will have a Tesla killer coming out any day now because he's got a Skunk Works. They've hired a bunch of Tesla employees and they're working on it.
What if we sell golf carts? Golf carts are a proven business.
Lots of people like them. Look, Ford can try to spin this all they want by talking about like Ford is second only to Teslas and EVs. But there's no getting around that Ford's EV sales were down 23% and EV revenue was down 37%.
And the biggest problem for Ford, they can't make an EV profitably, not even close. It's negative 99.5% margins on their EVs.
Yep. So another thing we learned during the Tesla Q2 earnings call last week is the new rescheduled date for Robotaxi Day, or the Robotaxi unveiling, whatever you want to call it. It's moved from August 8th to October 10th.
We already knew as of July 15th that Elon was delaying it, but now we know the new date.
And Elon explained why it was pushed back, saying, quote, we postponed the Robotaxi product unveil by a couple of months. It shifted to the 10th of October because I wanted to make sure some important changes that I think would improve the vehicle Robotaxi. The main thing that we are going to show, and we are also going to show off a couple of other things. So moving it back a few months allowed us to improve the Robotaxi as well as add in a couple other things for the product unveil.
So important changes that Elon thinks will improve RoboTaxi and adding a couple of other things for the product unveil.
I think this is going to be the kind of product unveil that most people won't understand. So I think that if you're thinking they will unveil something and the whole world will go, oh my God, not going to happen.
Well,
I think Elon is talking about something that, again, only the smart people are going to get.
Well, because let's talk about what most people want. So I think that most people want one thing from Tesla. And it is a cheaper Tesla, right? Okay. Most people, they're like, oh, I want a Model 3, but I want it to be cheaper.
Oh, that
or
they can
I want
own.
A Model Y, and I want it to be cheaper, right? And so I think that a lot of people are excited because Elon said that they're going to be making a more affordable car next year. And so I think everyone's going to be thinking like, oh my gosh, it's going to be that. That's the thing that I care about. Elon is going to spend probably 98% of the talk talking about the RoboTaxi because there's a lot to talk about there. And maybe they'll unveil a Model 2 or a Model 2.5 or something. But there's a good chance that maybe they don't unveil anything. And it could just be RoboTaxi. And then everyone's going to go, I wanted a $10,000 Tesla because I have unrealistic expectations. When in reality, Elon's going to be saying that you can basically have a car whenever you want one, and it'll cost a heck of a lot less than a Tesla today, or pretty much any car.
Yep. All right, so for our Fudster Headline of the Week segment,
well, we haven't done one of these in a while.
Yeah, well, they're, ramping up on the FUD, so we might have to bring it back on a regular basis. Let us know in the comments if we should. So let's go to Jalopnik with this gem. Half of Tesla's Q2 profit came from your taxes, they stupidly exclaim. Luckily, X has community notes, which corrected them. Regulatory credit revenue comes from other automakers who pollute beyond the legal limit, not from tax dollars.
Wait, so they really,
really
published an article with just blatantly false information? It's believable because you'd say,
oh my God, that's my tax dollars.
Right, because you can say regulatory credits and then you're like, well, regulations come from the government and the government is funded by my taxes. That's not how that works.
No. In fact, Community Notes even updated a couple hours later saying false. Tesla makes money by selling regulatory credits to other automakers who need them to meet environmental regulations and avoid fines. Conversely, other car automakers such as GM and Stellantis are recipients of over $1 billion in U.S. taxpayer dollars. So let's just flip this for a second. The headline should have read, it's GM and Stellantis and others that are getting your tax dollars.
Wasting them on credits that they need to pay to Tesla.
Exactly.
So maybe that's where your tax dollars are going. It's because we're funding these companies that suck so bad that they have to pay Tesla for the regulatory credits because they don't make enough EVs.
Yeah. So take Jalopnik off your newsfeed because there are lying pieces. Or how about a FUD post of the week? Nick Cruz-Patain, and this is not his post. He's being facetious here. He said EVs damage the roads because they're too heavy.
There's that word again. Heavy.
But then we got this chart here. Well, let's see how heavy they are. Oh, it's the same weight as all the other cars in their class. And Elon, of course, was like,
huh?
All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
All right, so Rocket League posted Drive the Future Cybertruck tomorrow.
And Elon said, cool, that's fun.
And the EV guy posted this. Ever seen a Cybertruck play Rocket League in real life? Wow, that's real life, folks. And speaking of real life or computer games, do you think this is a video game or real life, Jesse? Headlights dancing through the night. Cybertruck on the
I mean, the drone shot was cool through the trees. It looks like real life.
All right, let's see if he's right. Craig Coker says, I'm running from the storm in real life. And people were like, oh my God, is this real? It looks like CGI. And Craig says, oh, it's very real. My truck and Patty Mac on the drone.
That's cool. Wow.
Now, I think we saw this last week on Community Mail Time. Nick says, the crazy raps just never stop.
And Elon said, cool. It's like a make it blue. Make it pink.
And Nick said the first Cybertruck EMS vehicle in the world is in New Jersey. So everyone out there in New Jersey, get some photos. I want to see it.
That's cool.
The Irvine Police Department says coming soon to Irvine, Cybertruck, not kidding.
And Cybertruck posted on X. Whoop, whoop.
S.E. Robinson Jr. posted that the Cybertruck wins the 2500 class at the truck pull. And if you listen to people in the background, they're like, wait, no way. Now, if you've been waiting to check out Cybertruck, but you want to do more than just look at it from the outside, this is for you.
Tesla has begun sending out invites for test drives.
So how do you get an invite?
Many people seem to be getting email invites and invites through the app. I'm guessing that they're going out to people who showed interest in the Cybertruck, and they seem to be going out all over the country. We've seen invites arriving in California, Texas, Virginia, Florida, New York, Arizona, Illinois, Oregon, and DC.
Yeah, and so my guess is if you reach out to your local Tesla center, they might be able to put you on a list or something, especially if they're doing it in your area.
I would totally, if you haven't gone for a test drive in the Cybertruck, you absolutely should. I think it will impress you, especially if you know anything about trucks.
And this isn't a test ride. You'll be able to drive it.
Yeah.
Gregor Truck posted, typical gas car being rescued by an EV.
And as many of you know, Tesla will be offering a $16,000 130-mile range extender battery pack that will be mounted in the bed.
Jay Nygren says, will the Cybertruck range extender be easily removable, or could it be offered as a rental option from local service centers?
And Wes Morrill, Tesla's lead engineer for reliability test and analysis, said, no, any range extender offered by Tesla will be structurally mounted, so it's safe in a crash. And that makes sense, because it's going to be pretty heavy.
Elon then said, Judge Dredd would drive a Cybertruck. I went and tried to watch the movie the other day, but I couldn't do it. It just was so silly. It
doesn't hold up.
It didn't hold up. Those outfits, man. Elon gave an update over the weekend that FSD for Cybertruck is now slated for mid-August.
Although keep in mind that he previously said June.
And he did kind of say at the end of the sentence that it might be the end of August because they have to test it. So, I mean, don't get too excited. Mm. But I want to talk about some cool Cybertruck accessories because I was on the website there looking at what you can get. And check this out. The Cybertruck tailgate shield for $300. So you can like put your e-bike over the tailgate.
Okay. Can't you just buy that anyway? Like a normal truck?
Probably, thing? But I mean, that looks cool.
Oh, right. It's the Cybertruck one.
Yeah. How about the Cybertruck jump seat for $100?
Ooh.
You can fit up to three on the tailgate, and they lock onto that accessory we just talked about.
Oh, because I mean, I couldn't sit on the tailgate without a seat.
No, you wouldn't have a back to it. Cybertruck tailgate ramp for $400. Although you could go to Harbor Freight and get it a little cheaper. Cybertruck Vault Cargo Divider for $350.
Right. We've seen that one before.
Yep. The Cybertruck Molly panels for $250. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, most of these are sold out right now. So if you want them, got to get them fast when they come back online. And, of course, the Cybertruck Vault Cargo Bin sold in sets of three for $225. Mm. So, yeah, these are all, I think, make your Cybertruck way cooler. Now, unlike Ford and Rivian and GM, which are all losing tens of thousands of dollars for every electric pickup truck they sell, Tesla said during its Q2 earnings call that, quote, Cybertruck production more than tripled sequentially and remains on track to achieve profitability by end of year.
So they now have the capacity to build 125,000 Cybertrucks per year at Giga Texas, according to Tesla's latest shareholder letter.
And so funny that within a year they can be profitable, whereas the other guys can't seem to do it. Anyway, if you want to know this and more about Cybertruck, head on over to our sponsors, the Cybertruck Owners Club. There you're going to find amazing news. I mean, there's so much stuff now that they're out in the wild. Plus, the reservation tracker so you can find out when you're getting yours.
We just reviewed a Fat Tire e-bike with a funny name over on our Now Let's Review channel, the Pucky Puppy Corgi 2.
So Pucky Puppy is the brand name and Corgi 2 is the model. All their models, by the way, are named after dog breeds.
I love it. I do. The Corgi 2 has a lot going for it in my book.
Yeah, we're big fans of Fat Tire e-bikes here. They really do feel safer, especially if you hit a gravel patch or like a slippery puddle.
The step-through aluminum frame makes it easy to get on and off.
Dual suspension, front and rear.
You know what? You'll have to check out our review to get the whole rundown.
But I get it. There are so many e-bikes and e-scooters out there. You don't want to spend your hard-earned money on one of these until you feel like you know what you're getting.
So subscribe to our Now Let's Review channel and check out our reviews so you're not going to have any buyer's remorse. Thanks to Not a Tesla App, we are getting our first look at Tesla's new climate control panel that's arriving in the latest over-the-air software update.
So for reference, here's the old climate control panel.
Oh, it looks so old.
And here's the new climate control panel. Okay, so if I want to switch to like rear, where do I push the button?
It's up at the top.
Where? Oh, rear. Okay. How about defrost?
That's down at the bottom.
Okay. How about dog mode?
Because
look, on the old one, it's a button right there on the right.
Right.
So where's it now?
I think it's going to be under schedule. I forget. I don't know. This looks a lot similar to the Cybertruck's interface. And it, I mean, to me, it's been intuitive. I think it's under.
I guess if you're using dog mode a lot, you would know where it is.
That's true. You'd have to have a dog.
Right. Okay. So those got moved someplace else. Also, what about the buttons that used to be there for blowing air at my feet or my head? Like in the old one, it's either there on the left.
Yep.
Where are they here?
Well, right now it's in auto. When you shut off auto.
Oh, those appear.
Those appear.
Oh, okay.
So, gotcha. Don't worry.
All right. Gotcha. Here's another thing, though. A lot of people forget this. I forget this. There's voice commands. You can tell your Tesla to do almost anything you want without having to push a button. And I think a lot of people who are out of the Tesla world, they look at a Tesla and they're like, I wouldn't know how to run it. Well, if you know how to talk, you do.
I need the interior of that car to be 71 degrees exactly.
And here's the thing. Teslas are really good at interpreting your demands. I mean, a lot of things you talk to are you're like, no, I said lower. But with Teslas, I mean, I'm so surprised sometimes I'll give it a direction I'm going to. Like, I'm going to the Barnstable County helicopter air pad. And it'll be like, okay, here you go.
Or I'll be like, oh, I'm going to a restaurant that has like, basically it's like a foreign name. And it'll be like, oh, I'm going to Bispaccio's. And it'll find it. I'm like, what?
So we talked about Donald Trump earlier in the show. As we reported on In Depth last week, Elon said during this Tesla Q2 earnings call, we currently are paused on Giga Mexico. I think we need to see just where things stand after the election. Trump has said that he will put heavy tariffs on vehicles produced in Mexico. So it doesn't make sense to invest a lot in Mexico if that is going to be the case. So we kind of need to see where the things play out politically. However, we are increasing capacity at our existing factories quite significantly. And I should say that the cyber taxi or robo taxi will be produced here at our headquarters at Giga Texas.
I feel like this is giving Tesla a bit of cover for already not really starting to work on Giga Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is that a lot of the nice talk and promises that, you know, were made to get Tesla to build Giga Mexico turned out to be just that, talk.
When Tesla actually started to pull permits, I wouldn't be surprised if we learned that a lot of the incentives and government help with red tape wasn't really there.
So back in 2020, Out of Spec posted this. Another extreme wet rag supercharger test pulled in at 2% state of charge, ramped up to 147 kilowatts as normal, and thermal throttled at 34% down to 58 kilowatts. Slapped that room temperature soaking wet rag and it climbed back to 119 kilowatts where it hit the internal charge profile limit. Amazing. This is kind of the wet towel hack you might have seen at some superchargers. So back in May, someone asked Inside EVs if the wet towel trick worked, and Inside EVs posted,
yes, you can put a wet towel on a supercharger handle to get faster charging speeds.
And I bet that was Kyle saying that. So Tesla Charging said, placing a wet towel on supercharger cable handles does not increase charging rates and interferes with temperature monitors, creating risk of overheating or damage. Please refrain from doing this so our systems can run correctly and true charging issues can be detected by our systems. So don't put the wet towel on there.
To a certain degree, it seems like it makes sense because you're putting what is essentially a thermal heat sink onto the charging handle, which is the thing that gets hot. The problem with it and why Tesla doesn't want you to do it is that Tesla tested this out without
a wet towel.
Basically, they know what the temperature will be wherever they put the thermal couple. The thermal couple can't be inside the wires,
right,
and they can't exceed a certain temperature. So if you put the thermal couple away from the wires, which they have to do, and then you put a wet towel right on the thermal couple, you can fool it, and that could lead to danger.
Right.
So it's almost like putting a wet towel on a supercharger handle is as dumb an idea as it sounds. I mean, I'm not ragging on anyone who tried this out because faster charging speeds are faster, but that does make sense to me.
So you may remember that in September, Tesla launched the Powerwall 3 with 13.5 kilowatt hours of storage and 11.5 kilowatts of continuous power. Now Tesla Energy posted 88 certified installers from Germany at Giga Berlin for Powerwall 3 training. So this is exciting. They're starting to do Powerwall 3 installs in the UK and Germany, and here are the installers learning how to do it.
Nice.
Another one of Tesla's revolutionary products that so many people forget about is the Tesla semi-truck.
Probably because it didn't hit scale production exactly on Elon's original timetable.
But it is a real thing. There are over 70 of them in the wild.
Many are being used by Tesla, and Tesla Semi is also being piloted in real-world fleets like PepsiCo.
Tesla has broken ground on the Tesla Semi factory in Sparks, Nevada, right next to the original Gigafactory there. And now Dan Priestley of Tesla Semi team has released this rendering of what the factory will look like when completed and what the site looks like today with construction underway.
Tesla's goal is to have the factory completed next year and start producing semis late next year. Tesla's goal is to produce 50,000 semis per year when full-scale production is reached.
So for perspective, there were 266,000 Class 8 trucks sold in the U.S. in 2023. Many of those were semi-trucks, although Some of them weren't.
They're like buses. Right. And
no one really breaks out the
garbage
two.
Trucks. And right. Big trucks.
This gives you some idea. If they really do reach 50,000 a year, that would be a huge piece of the market.
And I think that this might be one of the more underrated pieces of Tesla land.
Yeah, because keep in mind, a truck driver is the number one job in most states in America.
It is. And I think that a lot of people just think, okay, there are these fancy, sleek little cars that drive around. And I think Cybertruck helps a little bit with this. But when you see a Tesla semi-truck, you go, oh, anything can be electrified because I see a giant truck and it's electric. So I think that the cultural impact of Tesla semi might be even more impactful, depending on how you want to think about it, than the semis themselves. All right, it's time for some SpaceX news.
Eli is reporting from Florida.
Welcome back to the Starman Report. I'm Eli Burton, your host, and today I am reporting from Kennedy Space Center. On day one of this two-day NASA Artemis core stage arrival event, the NASA Pegasus barge navigated the channel into Kennedy Space Center, carrying the core stage for the Artemis II SLS rocket. At the end of the morning, the Pegasus barge docked in preparation for its rollout and transfer to the Vehicle Assembly Building, also known as the VAB. We started early on day two as the NASA team began the nearly three-hour process of rolling the core stage out of the hangar and down the road to the VAB for assembly of the SLS rocket. While the core stage was moving, I had the opportunity to interview the Artemis II mission manager, Matthew Ramsey, and ask him his thoughts about the progress of the SpaceX Starship development.
I mean, it's hard to argue with progress, right? I mean, you saw, I don't know if it's IFT, OFT, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, and it's clear that they're making progress. They have some technologies ahead of them that they have to prove out. You know, the flights that we're seeing now are testing the airframe and the propulsion systems and, you know, the types of stuff that we did for Artemis 1. We shook the launcher out. We shook the spacecraft out. And they're in the middle of that right now. We are asking them to do a lot more than that. We're asking them to land on the lunar surface. And their CONOPS is such that they have to do in-space refueling. That's never been done at that scale before. I feel pretty confident that we'll get there. That SpaceX will do a good job there. Blue Origin is also a lander contractor. They don't have the same CONOPS. It's still a refueling type CONOPS in space. That is to me one of the biggest hurdles that we have going forward is that in space refueling. So that's supposed to happen next year, and we'll see how that goes. I don't really have any knowledge on, you know, when exactly that's supposed to happen, but I believe it's next year. So we'll see the first attempt at a in-space transfer propellant next year.
Orbital refueling is going to be a fun milestone in the moment of space exploration. But
it, you know, it's science fiction-y. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, well, this is a pretty cool deal. Them putting that into practice is going to be, game-changing.
After my interview with Ramsey, I came outside to find that it was raining, but rocket photographer Danny Vieira toughed it out and captured this beautiful time lapse of the core stage transfer. This event of the core stage rollout was just one of many moments in the lead up of our return to the moon with the NASA Artemis program. And at a broader view of this whole mission, it's really exciting to see the government with NASA and SpaceX with private industry work together towards this common mission. Well, guys, that's all for this time. Thank you so much for watching this special Starman Report, and I look forward to having you back for more of the most exciting news in space.
Thanks, Eli. Guess what we got?
What?
We got a Starman coming. It's on the set right now.
Nice.
You can get yours. Go to shadowovermars.com. And if you'd like to meet the real-life Starman, then you want to be at the Tesla store in Santa Monica on August 3rd from 1 to 2 p.m. We'll put the Eventbrite link down in the show notes. Oh, and don't forget, the first 500 attendees will get a free limited edition Starman comic. Nice. But there is more SpaceX news. Falcon 9 is back after the FAA paused launches while it investigated the second stage rocket failure to reignite.
And SpaceX says Falcon 9 lifts off from Pad 39A in Florida. Jeez, that was fast.
Yeah.
So on July 11th, the Falcon 9's first stage with its mighty 9 engines performed flawlessly. But the second stage with its single engine didn't reignite properly. And so the Starlink satellites didn't reach proper orbit.
Okay.
SpaceX discovered that the culprit behind this was a little tube called a sense line. This tube, which helps with the liquid oxygen part of the rocket's engine, had a loose clamp. This led to the tube cracking and leaking liquid oxygen. Hmm. SpaceX has decided to give the sense line and the pressure sensor a timeout for the next few launches. They're not essential for safety, and so they're getting benched. In the meantime, SpaceX is working on a new design under the FAA's watchful eye.
Okay. I bet the person who was supposed to tighten that clamp is looking for new work. And this latest Falcon 9 launched 23 Starlink satellites to orbit and then returned safely to just read the instructions drone ship.
And Falcon 9 just had the 300th reuse of a Falcon rocket boost stage.
That is amazing how quickly they got the problem like figured out.
Yeah.
Elon said Starlink now operating on over 1,000 aircraft. Using Starlink on a plane feels like you're on a high-speed ground fiber connection. Dima says breathtaking view of Earth from the SpaceX Crew Dragon in orbit, because don't forget there is a Crew Dragon at ISS, and I think you might need it to get those astronauts home. We're going to talk about that on Patreon bonus stories. Elon is now saying late August, early September, depending on the FAA's license, would be the Starship Flight 5. So basically, they're going to be ready in 2 weeks, but then they need FAA to give them permission. And by the way, just remember that when Starship is fully functional, it will cost 100 times less per ton than any existing solution. So, I mean, even Falcon 9, like, it is going to lower the price of getting stuff to space so that it's going to be phenomenal.
You got some junk? You want to put it in space? Get it out of there.
Call the junk guys.
Call Elon Musk.
And yeah, so if you don't know this, Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams are still on the International Space Station. They've supposed to be there for 8 days. It's now marking their 50th day because the Boeing Starliner spacecraft can't get them home. And Duvall said, not sure why Boeing, given their track record with passenger flights, is given such contracts when SpaceX, given their track record with launches, is just vastly superior.
And Elon says they have armies of lobbyists.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this on Patreon bonus stories. All right, it's time for Going Green. So on July 13th, a GE Haliade X wind turbine in the Vineyard Wind Farm off the coast of Nantucket broke in a storm, and one of its blades broke off and landed in the ocean.
It's gotten a lot of press attention, and many people have used this to argue against wind turbines because some of the pieces washed up on Nantucket's beaches.
This was a wind farm that was delayed for years by Donald Trump and local fishermen and others who argued all kinds of reasons against putting up wind turbines.
Even though other countries like Denmark have had offshore wind turbines cleanly collecting energy for decades.
Accidents do happen, though, and we thought, if you're going to get upset about pieces of this wind turbine blade turning up on your beaches, then we should compare apples to apples. So how about tanker ship accidents?
Tanker ships are used to transport fossil fuels for burning in power plants. So how about this tanker ship that blew up in May of last year?
Yeah, that's the Aframax Pablo. Three mariners were never found, and the owner of the tanker remains at large.
Luckily, it was empty at the time, or else 700,000 barrels of oil that it normally carried would have spilled into the ocean.
Or how about this tanker barge that just hit the bridge in Galveston, Texas last week?
Or how about this Russian tanker that just collided with a crude carrier?
Or how about this Korean tanker that sank in March, killing 8 sailors?
Or this tanker with 40,000 barrels of oil that sank last October, killing 5 people aboard.
Or this tanker carrying 1.4 million liters of fuel oil that sunk off the coast of the Philippines, killing a sailor.
By the way, the oil slick stretched for 3.7 kilometers. This just happened a couple days ago. These are just recent tanker accidents. If you want to go back a few years, you get way more to talk about. And these are just the biggest ones.
And by the way, this chart is measuring spills in the millions of gallons. So for those of you out there that want to make a big deal about a wind turbine blade breaking, keep in mind that 400,000 homes are being powered every day by this wind farm, all without the need for giant tanker ships full of oil that we fight wars over and that spill.
So would you rather have a broken wind turbine blade to deal with on your beaches or millions of gallons of oil?
I mean, I'll take some pieces of fiberglass turbine blade over this any day. Oh, and by the way, it ain't just tanker ships that have problems. This is footage of a tractor trailer truck that crashed into the highway barrier and exploded in a massive fireball after being rear-ended by a bus on Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey this week.
And James Stevenson said, one problem with internal combustion is that the combustion doesn't always stay internal.
And Elon said, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, heavens to Betsy, if we have wind turbine blades washing up on shore, I mean, kids might have something to play with on the beach.
I love how they had to wear hazmat suits to pick up pieces of fiberglass. I mean, give me a fucking break. Hey, I want to thank our friends at EVJack for coming up with this. This allows you to plug in at a supercharger and charge your car, but also not be a sitting duck.
Right. If you're plugged in at any charger with any EV, you cannot drive away unless you have one of these. Because what this will allow you to do is tell the car that you unplugged and then safely break away from the charger that you're plugged into. It will protect the charger end and it will protect your car. And this will allow you to get away from a situation that you don't want to be in when you're stuck at a charger.
Amazing piece of technology here. And if you're like, yeah, but then it's broken, I have to buy another one. Luckily, our friends at EVJack said they'll give you another one for free. So head on over to EVJack.com and use our code NYK. And guess what? You'll get it for 50% off. All right, it's time for sunspots.
NextAmp is the largest community solar provider in the U.S.
They have just partnered with Starbucks, which is committed to purchasing renewable electricity from six new community solar farms in Illinois.
NextAmp has already begun construction of the solar farms and say they'll be coming online beginning of next year, creating several hundred jobs and 40 megawatts of clean power.
So Starbucks will get some of the electricity for their stores, and the rest will be available to 1,100 local residents to help lower their electric bills every month.
If you can't get solar installed where you live, you might be able to sign up for community solar.
Yeah, we have community solar in addition to the solar panels on our roof. So do some research in your area and see what you find.
If you know of a community solar program that still has some availability, let us know in the comments and thank you.
And if you'd like to get some solar on your roof, but you have lots of questions, talk to our friends at EnergyPal. They are the experts that help you get batteries and solar for less. They'll do all the work for free. Tell them that Zach and Jesse sent you. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. We need your stories to make the show what it is. Send them to us 2 minutes or less. Shoot them in landscape, good audio, no music, and send them to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Marco sent us this story about supercharging his Cybertruck while powering a cooler in the bed of the truck.
Does it work?
Currently at Kirkwood, New York, superchargers. About 12 of them total. Charging up the Cybertruck and also testing. Can you charge and keep your fridge running at the same time? Currently charging. And as you can see, power stays on in the bed. And everything powered on while charging, supercharging especially. Near a Snyder's Market. Enjoy.
It does.
Woo.
Thank you, Marco, for showing that. It's so good to know that Cybertruck thought of that.
Only while supercharging.
I mean, you wouldn't want your ice cream to melt while you're there for
only
20 minutes.
While supercharging. If you plug into a level 2 charger, it will stop, as we proved in our episode.
Oh, right. Because it's not DC charging, it's AC charging.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So Marco was kind of like wrong there at the end, because I think he said that it would keep charging. So keep that in mind. You wouldn't want to, because that would be long charging, right? You plug it in at night for like 8 hours and you're like, my ice cream will be fine.
Yes.
Maybe it won't.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. On Patreon this week, we got so many stories just for our patrons.
So did Tesla listen to us for their new solar video?
Another police department goes all in on Tesla.
An update on Tesla's lawsuit against Rivian.
And more.
You get to see these stories for just a buck a month. Also, our Investor Club bonus stories for our Investor Club members.
Head over to patreon.com/nowyouknow and support us.
Keep independent journalism strong and get all these Patreon bonus stories.
You're really missing out if you don't join us, so come on, what's stopping you?
We'll see you wonderful patrons on Patreon.
All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. We've got a poll this week. Should Tesla invest in XAI? Now, Elon already did his own poll and got a 2/3 vote. What do you think our patrons said?
Well, let's see. Oh, 84%. Interesting. So among our patrons,
it's
a little higher.
A little higher. I can't wait to be a Tesla XAI shareholder.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Elon's X's of the week. Buckle up. Tesla Megapack said France's first large-scale two-hour battery system will be built by Harmony Energy and will feature 100 megawatts, 200 megawatt hours of Megapacks. Mario says, Comer to Cheadle, did you have Secret Service on the roof or not?
Elon said, before testifying, every witness should be required to pass a test where they take a plastic square, triangle, and circle and put them through the respective holes.
Alex says, Congressman Pat Fallon, tell Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle to go back to guarding Doritos.
Elon says, not sure I would trust Director Cheetos with guarding Cheetos, to be honest.
Juanita says, holy moly, can't take any more of this blathering moron. What or who is she protecting to take this kind of punishment?
Elon said, truly staggering levels of dumb.
Elon said, America is going bankrupt, by the way, and that is because $1.1 trillion is our debt, with 76% of income taxes collected going to paying for it.
Elon says, America is headed for bankruptcy, FYI.
Zuby says, remember when Elon fired 80% of Twitter staff, and after some minor hiccups, the app massively improved? Can we do that with government?
Elon said, it's safe to say that not everyone in government is super hardworking and brilliantly competent.
Elon then said, where are we with dollar value destruction, you might ask? You are here. And that is a real note, by the way.
What do you mean?
See number four? Uh-huh. How many zeros there is on it?
Oh, I see.
Elon said they should actually teach this in business school. Hello, my name is Ngoya Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Ngoya's Guide to Networking Success. Polite greeting. Name. Relevant personal link. Manage expectations. And then Elon posted talking with Jordan in 5 minutes. So yeah, really good interview. 2-hour interview with Jordan Peterson. You might want to check out. Gays Against Groomer says, wow, this is a massive revelation by Elon Musk and explains why he is so vehemently against gender ideology and the barbaric practices that come with it. He said he was tricked by doctors into signing documents for his son to be given puberty blockers and was told that he would commit suicide if he didn't get the gender affirming care he needed. He is determined to destroy the woke mind virus ever since. And Elon said, Xavier was born gay and slightly autistic, two attributes that contribute to gender dysphoria. I knew that from when he was about 4 years old and he would pick out clothes for me to wear, like a jacket, and tell me it was fabulous, as well as his love of musicals and theater, but he was not a girl. Nick says, Tesla should sell these in the shop. They would fly off the shelves.
Elon says, I agree. Team made one for me as an office chair, and it's great.
Bill McGuin says, breaking, U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle has resigned.
Elon said, high time.
Andre Caprathy says, huge congrats to Alet Meta on the Llama 3 release. Few notes. Today with the 405B model release, it's the first time that a frontier capability LLM is available to everyone to work with and build on.
Elon says it's impressive, and Zuck does deserve credit for open sourcing.
Zuck weighs in on others attempting to use government to protect themselves and capture the AI market. This is hero stuff from Mr. Zuckerberg. Great for the entire entrepreneur developer ecosystem.
And Elon says, plus one for Zuck.
Sawyer Merritt says, Google says they're investing another $5 billion into Waymo, their self-driving robo-taxi unit.
And Elon says, Waymo money.
Elon says, Starlink is now active in a Gaza hospital with the support of UAE Media Office and Israel. Elon then said, shouldn't the nominee be decided by a party vote, democracy, etc.? He went on to say, about 3 weeks ago, the media told you that Biden was sharp as a tack. 2 days ago, the poor guy was basically forced at gunpoint to resign as Democratic nominee. His staff wasn't even informed. Now they say Kamala is the best thing ever. Cache says, Zuck is really right about Apple. How many enemies can they make and continue to survive?
Elon says, I think the same thing about myself, to be honest.
Ian says, quadruple your security and stay frosty.
Elon said, yeah, it's tricky as I have a threat profile higher than many heads of state, but am put into the corporate CEO bucket for major events. Means I have to stay relatively secluded.
David Sachs says, Kamala the coup plotter, Harris clinched the nomination less than a day and a half after Biden's ex announcement. Clearly, this was teed up in advance. As the main beneficiary of the coup, she had to be deeply involved.
Elon says, not necessarily. Kamala is just a puppet, so they could tell her at the last minute. She'll read whatever the teleprompter says.
Hassan says, just in. Elon says he'd fight Mark Zuckerberg any place, anytime, any rules. Elon is a legend.
And Elon laughed.
Fight Zuckerberg?
All right, I'll fight him. I'll fight Zuckerberg any place, any time, any rule.
Can I get a picture with you?
Miguel says, check out a couple new Grok features on web for premium subscribers. Hover over an account and Grok can give you a quick summary about the account. Also highlight any text and ask Grok about it.
And Elon says, coming soon to iOS and Android.
Stephen King says, Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. Sorry, Elon, you bought it. You're stuck with it.
Elon says, it hurts our feelings when you deadname.
Alex says, is Stephen King going to be okay? And here's some of the tweets that Stephen King posted. And Elon says, this happens every time he does rails. Beth says, TikTok gives a foreign adversary an unprecedented level of cybernetic cultural control over a whole generation of Americans, a pure vector for cultural sabotage, the main explanation for the rise in anti-American sentiment. It should be banned or sold to a U.S. entity.
And Elon said, our educational institutions have been spewing anti-American propaganda long before TikTok came along. Social media may amplify it, but the root of the mind virus is in our elite colleges.
Chris Anderson says, despite my disagreements with some of Elon's political posturing, I still regard him as a truly remarkable entrepreneur, someone capable of shaping the future perhaps more than anyone else on the planet. But right now, I believe he's in danger of juggling too many balls. And so he proposed that Elon put all of his companies together into one company called FutureX.
Elon says, I'm not opposed to the idea in principle, but I'm not sure there's a pragmatic or legal way to merge them. There's also value in equity incentives of people at the companies being tied to that company's accomplishments.
Greg says, people are currently burning the American flag in our nation's capital while yelling Allah Akbar. Elon says the Democratic Party is the home of anti-Americanism. People who have been lifelong Democrats refuse to accept the clear reality that the Democratic Party is rapidly becoming openly anti-Semitic. This trend is accelerating, not slowing down. Knock, knock, hello, Captain Obvious here. Elon went on to say, many in the West seem to have lost the will to continue. Perhaps religion was necessary after all. Then GovTrack removes Kamala Harris's liberal ranking, and Elon says, literally as far left as it is possible to go, they're trying so hard to erase the internet. Alex says, I can't believe some people don't believe in FSD.
Elon says, most people have no idea it exists.
Richard Dawkins says, do human beings have free will?
Elon says, Free Willy was never free.
Stephen King says, the Italian chef died. You could say he passed away. Can Elon tell jokes like that? I'm thinking no.
Elon says, what do you call a Great Dane eating a small piece of ham in a little village? Hamlet eating Hamlet in a hamlet. Elon says, my roommate says I'm a delusional schizophrenic. Joke's on him. I don't have a roommate. So I guess he can tell jokes like that.
Stephen King says, I was in a bookstore and they were throwing my novels around. Couldn't figure out why. Then it hit me.
Elon says, truly the shining examples of dad jokes. Christine says, if a book falls off the stand, you can carry it away.
And he said, don't be misery. I'm your number one fan. Okay, signing off now. So I guess they can both dad joke themselves.
Okay.
So this quote from CBS that Trump falsely accuses Harris of donating to Minnesota Freedom Fund, bailing out dangerous criminals. Community Notes corrected it and says on June 1st of 2020, Kamala Harris tweeted, if you're able to chip in now to the Freedom Fund to help post bail for those protesting on the ground in Minnesota, the tweet contained a donation link.
And Elon said, CBS lies about Trump lying.
Mario says Star Wars actress wins big in Disney lawsuit.
Elon says the discovery on this case will be devastating for the woke mind virus that controls Disney.
Elon went on to say intelligence seems to be about how tightly you can compress reality and from that compression predict the future. Daily Roman Update says Koreans didn't have slaves.
And Elon said slavery was everywhere on Earth. Sometimes they used different names, but it was everywhere.
I love this piece because after he said that, the other comedians in the room looked it up online and they're like, oh, they had slaves for 1,500 years. AI Driver posted that they were getting 12.5.
Elon says there will be several point releases in quick succession.
Peter Boghossian says, if you only surround yourself with people who agree with you, how can you learn?
Paul Graham says, by trying to solve problems and studying what other people had figured out, you don't only learn from disagreeing.
And Elon kind of agreed. There are far more ways to fail than to succeed, so studying success is faster. Scientific American posted this positive thing about Kamala Harris, and Elon said,
Scientific American is doing political shilling. Wow.
Peter Haig says, when did Scientific American turn into North Korean state media?
Elon says, it seems that almost all previously scientific publications are now controlled by the woke mind virus.
Doge Designer said, how old are you?
Elon says, 5,024 years old. Check my bio. Not to brag or anything, but I think I don't look a day over 4,000.
Manifest Lord says, Rothschild family is the most wealthiest and influential family believed to control all the world's money through their banking empire since the late 18th century.
Elon says, the ones I know seem quite nice, to be honest.
Cremu says, 1% of people are responsible for 24% of the health spending in America, and 5% of the people are responsible for just over half.
Elon says, vast majority of healthcare spending is near end of life, and obesity often plays a major role. GLP and other hunger inhibitors may be the single best positive effect on healthcare and quality of life in the 21st century.
Elon said, unless there is more bravery to stand up for what is fair and right, Christianity will perish.
Jason Calacanis said, if you're going to do your born again era, we're so here for it. And then he laughed.
And Elon said, I believe in the principles of Christianity, like love thy neighbor as thyself, have empathy for all, and turn the other cheek, end the cycle of retribution. Elon said, wow, Google has a search ban on President Donald Trump. Election interference?
David said, Google is owned by Democrats.
Elon said, they're getting themselves into a lot of trouble if they interfere with the election. Natalie says, Elon said this would happen. He predicted that Democrats would let illegal immigrants into the country to vote. And Fox News just reported that Elizabeth Warren, the senator, calls for granting citizenship to illegal immigrants, saying Harris will get that done.
And Elon said they are importing voters as fast as they possibly can.
Gavin Newsom said, manipulating a voice in an ad like this one should be illegal. I'll be signing a bill in a matter of weeks to make sure it is. And this is about a funny fake Kamala Harris ad that was posted on X.
And Bob said, ah, yes, I believe he studied under the legendary Professor Teabags.
And Elon said, not to mention Pulitzer Prize winner Dr. Head, first name Dick. Elon went on to say, I checked with renowned world authority Professor Sugandhi's Nuts, and he said parody is legal in America. All right, so we had a lot of trolling this week.
Whew, all right.
It's time for community mail time. Community mail time. We need your stories and photos and videos. Send them to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com so we can see what's going on in the world of EVs.
Colton spotted this Hummer EV at the Sacramento, California airport.
Ed saw this matte pink Model Y at the West Covina, California supercharger.
Max sent us this picture of his Model Y towing some hay bales.
Nice. Chris sent us this picture he took of SpaceX Falcon 9 booster.
Vince sent us this picture of his Model 3 parked between two Cybertrucks in San Antonio, Texas.
That's awesome. Archie spotted this new Tesla sales and service center in Encinitas, California.
Chuck saw this Bluebird EV school bus in Arlington Heights, California.
Amadeo spotted the Cybertruck in Brazil.
Brazil?
What?
Cool.
How did it get there?
Ed saw this VW ID. Buzz at Plitvice Lakes National Park in Croatia.
Rick spotted this Rivian R1T supercharging in Joliet, Illinois.
Scott saw this OG Tesla Roadster in San Rafael, California.
And Caroline sent us this picture of a Hyundai Ioniq 5 from the Cars and Coffee event in Lafayette, Colorado. Thank you, guys. All right, it's time for supercharger reviews. Let's see what we got out there in the world of superchargers.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. It's your friend Greg from PA. I'm at the Chester Springs Supercharger. It's 12 stalls, 250 kilowatt. Just opened recently, not far from me. I learned about it from your channel a couple weeks ago. All you need to know about it, it's at a Wawa. It's got what you need and nothing you don't. It's not much else in the immediate vicinity. A couple of shops down the street if you felt like taking a walk. It's a little bit near the Pennsylvania Turnpike entrance. And that's about all that's going on here. So I'm going to give it a 4, but it is a good 12-stall supercharger. Totally empty right now. Now you know.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. I'm Adam.
And I'm Andrew with the Electric Vehicle Association of Alberta. We're here on a blistery minus 30 degree Celsius, minus 22 Fahrenheit day in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, at our second Tesla supercharger station. This is a 12-stall system with 250 kilowatt version 3 superchargers located in an area with a lot of amenities as far as restaurants and things to see and do, but not as far as scenery goes. Given that, we think we rated at a 7.5.
Yeah, that sounds right. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, here we are. Point Reyes Seashore Lodge, deli, restaurant, bar. This is at the end of Sir Francis Drake Boulevard. Such a lovely drive out here in Point Reyes area. And what do we have here? But Tesla superchargers, that's right. There's two of them right here and a few more in the back. I definitely give this a, I don't know, about an 8 out of 10. There's some good food and beautiful scenery. Look at this map here in West Marin. Come on down, sunny California. It's a beautiful drive and you're not gonna lose your charge. To eat, we got the Due West Tavern and Market. And right over there is the Alima House. Just down the way is the Alima Campground. This place is awesome. Come visit. They got public toilets. Well, they're just porta potties. And if you're a guest at the hotel, there's a destination charger. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, this is Banks. I am at the supercharger station that is at the Silver Springs exit in Ocala, Florida. It's about a mile or two to the east of Interstate 75. The supercharger station here, as you can see behind me, is an 8-stall version 3 charger. It's in the back of a Wawa service station. Wawa service station offers bathrooms and it's a basic convenience store, a little nicer than your average store, but still just a basic convenience store. It's off of State Road 40. There's a couple of fast food places on the way down here from the interstate. But other than that, not a great deal within walking distance. Overall, I would rate the supercharger station a 6 out of 10. Now you know.
Thank you so much for doing Supercharger reviews. If you want to see it all on a map, we have a map on our website. It's called nowyouknowchannel.com, and you can see them all on a map. You can upload your own, too, if you
I think it's the only place in the interwebs that does it.
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for beautiful superchargers. Check this out. Tesla Europe and Middle East posted hit 500 supercharger stalls in Austria.
And they did another flag one.
Yeah, I love
those. That's
fun. All right, what do we got for new superchargers in the world?
We got the 12 stall in Clinton, New Jersey. Isn't that where they had the truck smashed and there was a giant fire?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
might be closed.
Maybe, who knows?
We got the 12 stall version 4 in Inning, Austria.
The 12 stall in Norfolk, East Virginia Beach Boulevard, Virginia.
Number 78 in Hong Kong is the 6th stall in Chang'an, Hong Kong.
Number 73 in Spain is the 12 stall in Aladia, Spain.
Number 161 in Florida is the 12 stall in Orlando.
The 8th stall version 4 in Farbersville, France.
The 10th stall in Los Banos, California.
Number 81 in Virginia is the 12th stall in Richmond.
We got number 142 in the UK, the 11th stall in London Gateway, what they couldn't put a 12th stall in.
Number 33 in Finland is the 8th stall version 4 in Vaasa, Finland.
Number 2082 in China is the 3 stall in Jinhua.
Number 42 in Austria is the 12th stall version 4 in St. Michael im Lungo, Austria.
Number 92 in Italy is the 8th stall version 4 in Udine, Italy.
The 9th stall version 4 in La Roche-sur-Yon, France.
The 8 to 20 stall expansion of version 3s and 4s in Saint-Gaudens, France.
Number 204 in France is the 16 to 28 stall expansion, version 3 and 4 in Begley, France.
Number 475 in California is the 16 stall version 4 in Anaheim.
And number 78 in New Jersey, number 2,327 in the United States, 6,531 in the world is the 8th stall in Brick Township, New Jersey.
Thank you for joining us this week.
The world is changing in amazing ways. Zach and I stay on top of it every week for you.
We have even more content on our Patreon, so please consider joining us for as little as a buck a month to unlock a lot more content and stories. All just for our amazing patrons.
These people here make our independent reporting possible. If you're watching, then you know by now that we can't rely on legacy media for what's really going on in the world. We put our heart and soul into this show every week, and we really appreciate you for watching and supporting our work.
And thank you for being awesome.
We'll see you guys next week.
Now you know.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save.